question that I want to pose to you now as we get started. No, we had a wedding here yesterday. You kind of see things that indicate that, and you've heard the talk. Many of you were there. How terribly embarrassing would it have been had one or the other of the bride or the groom not shown up and left the other at the altar? Been terrible, wouldn't it? All those things that had been preparations and decorations and money spent and time invested. It would have been an awful thing to have had happen. Well, it has happened sometimes. I can remember, maybe some of you men can relate to it, maybe you women as well. I can remember when Renee and I got married, it was on a Sunday afternoon. I preached homecoming at Dix Creek United Methodist Church, drove 3.5 hours east of Charlotte, and got married at 6 o'clock. On my way down there, and while I was there and waiting for everything to start, my greatest fear was that Renee would not show up. Now, I can't imagine why I thought that. I mean, you know, just look at me and, you know, just, you know, look at who I am, you know. I can't imagine that. Now, some of you men may have had that same feeling, and I don't know, some of you today may have been wishing that they hadn't have shown up. I don't know. I'm sure there's some of these women out here wishing that they hadn't shown up to your wedding, but no, I'm very thankful that she showed up, and I'm grateful every day, And y'all hear me say that now because somebody like Calvin Dixon will go tell a story to her about what I've said. So y'all all vouch for me now. And Lynn, you tell her what I really said now. The Bible, as we read through it, is full of images, Old Testament and New Testament, that parallel the kingdom of God or Jesus Christ and the relationship with the church to weddings and wedding feasts and banquets. As I thought about this earthly symbol and earthly practice of a wedding and a marriage feast and a banquet, because we really had a feast, a banquet last night after the wedding, as I thought about these things, I couldn't help but think about how terribly tragic it would be for us, Christians, the church, to leave Jesus at the altar all alone. The truth is that Jesus is not going to be left alone, though, folks. You can be sure of that. We, on the other hand, we could be left out of that wedding feast that's promised His church. Now, as I started looking over this sermon and thinking about it and kind of getting a few points here and there, I had planned on preaching just one sermon on it, but, you know, any preacher that's worth his salt, he can stretch it out to two, you know. It just saves on next week's work. But this one is one that's not going to be able to be preached in just one week. So, if you're here today, you're not getting the full picture unless you come back next week and hear that. Amen. So, come on back. And if you can't come back and you live far away, and I know there's some people that don't live right here, so go on the internet, and for heaven's sakes, why anybody won't go on the internet and listen to me preach there, I can't imagine, but it'll be available at some point. So you'll be able to catch the second part. It is important to hear both sides of this, because today what I'm going to talk about are some of the consequences, some of the reasons, some of the things associated with not being at the altar, of leaving Jesus at the altar, being absent from and excluded from the wedding feast and the banquet. Next Sunday, I'm going to talk about the flip side of it, so to speak, and how and what's going to happen when we are faithful and we are invited in and we are part of that great wedding feast. So, that's what will be happening next week. But today, it's left at the altar. Multiple invitations are the first thing that we see in the Scripture. And I'm going to be doing Matthew today. Revelation is next week. Matthew chapter 22, verses 1 through 14. I'm going to read them a little bit at a time as we go through it. The first thing we see in this Scripture, multiple invitations. That's the first thing that we see. Jesus didn't just issue, God didn't just make one invitation, blanket invitation, just cast it out there and say, oh, everybody come, and leave it at that. But there are multiple invitations. Listen, verses 1 through 6. And Jesus answered and spoke to them again by parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son and sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding. And they were not willing to come. Again, he sent out other servants saying, tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatted cattle are killed and all things are ready. Come to the wedding. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his own farm, another to his business. And the rest seized his servants, treated them spitefully, and killed them. Multiple invitations. Folks, the truth about this thing is that when God issues the invitation to come to the wedding feast, to come to the banquet, to be part of this marriage ceremony, He doesn't just do it once. He issues it over and over and over. God is long-suffering and caring, and He does not desire that one person should perish, that all people should come to the kingdom of God and be part of His heavenly home. Now, that does not mean that everyone is going to. When you read this scripture, as you continue through it, you will see that. But His desire is not for anyone to perish. And He is long-suffering. He goes over and over and over in issuing those invitations. Many people have excuses there. One to his business, one to his own farm. Things that are important that needed to be tended to. Folks, how many times is God calling us? How many times is God saying to you, you need to be involved in this, or you need to be part of this, you need to commit to this. But you're just saying, you know, I just can't do it right now. I've just got things that are important to do. I've got a business to run. I've got a farm to tend to. I've got a family that demands so much of my time. I've got hobbies. Where's Brenny? Hobbies. We'll hear something else about hobbies later. We were talking this week. Hobbies. So many times, folks, we take the attitude that our Christianity is just a hobby. What do you do with hobbies? You pick them up when you got time, and you lay them down when you get busy. Does that sound like us? It does me. And, you know, you say, oh, well, you're a preacher. Well, I'm just like you. I'm just exactly like you. I have the same demands. My job demands and my family demands and my own desires demand. Folks, we don't need to pick up our Christianity and our faith like a hobby and play with it as long as it's convenient and we have the time. But when something else comes up, just lay it over and keep on going. Our Christian faith needs to be a full-time occupation. It needs to be part of who we are. Folks, the truth is when there are multiple invitations, that doesn't mean that there are unlimited invitations. Because just the course of nature and the way things are is that sometimes there is a final time that you're going to have to accept what Jesus is calling you to do and be in this world. Because there's not one of us in here, and I'm sorry to say this to y'all if you don't already know it, but there's not one of us going to escape death save Jesus Christ come back before that happens. I don't know of one person that's going to escape it. I know I'm not, unless Jesus does return before that time. But folks, there are a limited number of opportunities. Multiple invitations have been issued to these guests. They were sent a formal invitation saying, come to the wedding. Save the date. We're issuing it. That's when it's going to be. We want you to come. Then as everything's ready, he sends another word out personally by his servants. Please come. It's all been prepared. We're ready for you. Folks, don't keep turning it away. Multiple invitations. The second thing that we need to note in this passage is that rejection of these invitations ultimately leads to judgment. We don't like that word, do we? I can't be a judge. Well, I'm not a judge, folks. I'm talking about God's doing the judging here. I can't tell you that today is your last opportunity to receive the Word of Christ and to accept Him as a personal Savior and become one of His. I can't tell you that today's the last day you'll ever hear that. It's not my right to do that. I can't tell you that you haven't received that and that you need to. I can just say that each one of us needs to receive Jesus Christ. I'm not judging you, but I am issuing you the invitation. The judgment part is God's. Rejection means judgment. Read verses 7 through 8 with me, if you have your Bibles. But when the king heard about it, he was furious, and he sent out his armies, destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. Then he said to his servants, "The wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy." Boy, what a thing to have heard from the king. I'm going to tell you what. We're all going to stand before the king one day, folks. Continual rejection will lead to our judgment. The third thing that we need to note is that just because you've been raised up in the church, just because you have the name of Christian, and we're a Christian people, we're a Christian family, we're a Christian nation. You know, Christian, Christian, Christian. Well, folks, I'm sorry to tell you, but just because you have that behind your name or after your name or wherever it is, that doesn't mean that it's going to be exclusively offered to you. Everyone is going to receive that offer. The invitation, when you reject it, ultimately is going to go to somebody else. Look at what happened to the Jews. They were God's chosen people. Jesus came for them, so that they could be a blessing to the world. But when they rejected Him, the gospel went out to the Gentiles. Folks, the invitation will go to others. Verse 9 and 10. Therefore, this is the king speaking, "Therefore go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding." So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. Folks, the son is going to have a wedding feast. You can be sure the father will not allow the wedding feast not to occur. We've been talking in Sunday school class about Revelation and talking about that the ultimate thing about Revelation is when you boil it all down with all the symbolism, all everything, my opinion is that Jesus is going to come back and He's going to be Lord of Lords and King of Kings at that point. And ain't nobody going to have no doubt about it. That's the one thing we can say for absolute certain and sure. The king is going to have a wedding feast, folks. It's going to go out to others. Not just those that we deem worthy of it, but it's going to be offered to all people. The guests are not going to be just the rich and famous, the powerful and influential, but they're going to be the people who are least lost and lonely. Those who are downtrodden, who are poor in spirit, and who need God's touch and are willing to respond and lay aside whatever it is that they're doing and hear that invitation and receive it. The next point, the last one for today. Just being invited, simply responding to the invitation, does not assure you of a place at the banquet. Okay, let me say that again. Now think about it. Just because you were invited to the banquet, you received the invitation, just because you were invited, and just because you did accept, okay, I've been invited, okay, I'm coming. Just because I accepted and because I go, it does not assure me a place in that banquet. Verses 11 through 14. But when the king came in to see the guest, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. So he said to him, "Friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment?" And he was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, "Bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen." That wedding garment that the king is talking about is symbolic or pointing to the righteousness that we clothe ourselves with. Only The only way we can clothe ourselves with the proper righteousness is to embrace Jesus Christ. The only thing, the only way that we can be righteous. Paul talks about putting on the whole armor of God, clothing ourselves with the things that are necessary to ward off the attacks of Satan. Folks, we have to put on the garments of righteousness. We have to prepare. We just cannot haphazardly fall into heaven. It is a conscious effort that we make. It is a conscious accepting and saying, yes, Lord, yes, to your will and your way. I think that's a song somewhere. Maybe if it didn't, I ought to write it. You know?
Amen.
Just being invited, just simply responding to that invitation does not assure you of a place at the banquet. We have to prepare. We have to make preparations. And we do that by first accepting Jesus Christ as our garment of righteousness. Now today, that's all I've got for you today. That's enough to chew on for a week, a lot longer. I want you to think about that. I want you to remember, and I want you to know today that there is an invitation open to you today. There is every person that's here today has that invitation to come to Jesus today if you have never made that choice in your life. Or if you find yourself a long way from Christ today, that you have turned in a different direction over the years, and that you need to be back on track, accept that invitation, begin that journey, and clothe yourself with the righteous garments, the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I issue you that today, and I invite you to come to the altar and receive Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, I thank you today that you speak to our hearts and our minds, and that you give us your grace. Lord, may you and you alone be our judge. And Lord, I judge no one, because I don't want to be judged. Lord, I need you and the grace and the clothing, the garments of righteousness that only Jesus can give my life. Lord, for without Him, I know that I am hopelessly and helplessly doomed. Lord, may we hear that invitation today. May we lay aside all those things that are before us. May we receive you. In Jesus' name.